Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, with the UK apparently on the verge of scrapping large parts of the Northern Ireland Protocol, is the Republic of Ireland's place in the EU single market now at risk? Earlier on Drive Time, we heard EU Chief Negotiator Maros Sefcovic raise a question mark over Ireland's single market membership for so long a central plank of our economic model. Mr. Sefcovic said the EU would do its best to protect Ireland's place in the single market, but acknowledged serious concerns. I'm joined now by Minister for European Affairs, Thomas Byrne. You're very welcome to the programme, Minister. Fáil to Ruth. I must say, listening to Seán O'Murray's interview with Maros Sefcovic, I was taken aback a little bit. His comments and the prospect of Ireland losing unfettered access to the EU single market is a really worrying prospect for any exporter listening and for many of their employees. What do you say to them?
Well, I was listening to the interview as well, Cormac, and I didn't take that from it at all. So I'm actually quite surprised at the question that you're putting to
me. Well, let me just clarify for somebody who didn't hear it. Seán O'Murray asked Maros Sefcovic, will it impact, that is to say, if the UK moved unilaterally to scrap parts of the protocol, she said, will it impact Ireland's place in the single market? The answer, of course. I mean, this is the issue. Therefore, we have serious concerns.
No, there is. I have no concerns about Ireland's place in the single market. Our place in the single market is guaranteed, really, going back as far as the Single European Act, which we voted for in 1987. Brexit has obviously caused huge disruption around the European Union. But our place is guaranteed in the single market. There is simply no issue. And it's not an issue, quite frankly.
What do you mean, then?
Well, you can ask Maros Sefcovic what he meant, but I've had numerous discussions with him, but also with colleagues all around Europe, and this is not an issue. And has ever been addressed at me, and it's not an issue that I expect will be addressed. What we want to make sure is that we protect the peace in Northern Ireland and Northern Ireland's access to the single market. That's very, very important. But fundamentally, what the European Union is concerned about, and this is everything that they say, everything that they do, is about ensuring peace in Northern Ireland. Look, the bottom line is, in truth, there is no risk to the protocol. It is an internationally binding agreement.
There is if the UK scrap it unilaterally.
But this is the point. We've had this in the internal markets bill. We've had the whole debate about Article 16. We now have this phase of this particular wave on the protocol. And each time they seem to find that, as we said, and I would have said every single time, that it's simply not possible to do.
What if they just carry out checks in the IRC?
Well, checks, not all the checks that should be carried out are being carried out. They've put in place easements, but the British government are doing checks, the Northern Irish authorities are doing checks, and there's European Commission officials there as well.
That's what I'm saying. So what if they stop?
Well, again, what I'd say is that we can talk all about hypotheticals, but we had previously an announcement in Northern Ireland that checks are being stopped. We didn't panic. We were calm. We held the line. And then we found out the following day, in fact, they weren't being stopped. So I'm very, very keen to make sure that, you know, there's no unnecessary speculation, because we've seen this speculation before.
No, we have, but I think Maros Sefcovic, according to Seán O'Murray, was taken aback by the phone call he had with Liz Truss earlier today. It didn't go down well. It was described as frosty. And there seems to be a momentum now to remove parts of the protocol. And my question is on behalf of people who are doing business here and who are operating and who have invested huge sums of money, perhaps, and families depending on jobs in those businesses. Is there any prospect at all of further checks on Irish ports or anywhere on the island of Ireland?
No.
None at all. So if there are no checks and if the Northern Ireland Protocol is stopped, where will the EU checks be then?
This is the whole point. We've had this before. I mean, the Internal Markets Bill wasn't a rumour in the newspapers. This was actual legislation going through the House of Commons. And yet they pulled back. So I fully expect that to happen again at the end of the day. But sorry, all I can do is tell you what's happened over the last number of years when we've had exactly the same scenario.
Let's talk about the phone call this morning. If they follow through on that threat to scrap the protocol, my question to you is simple. Where will the EU checks go?
We've had these threats before, and Britain has pulled back for a number of reasons. First, they know that they can't do it. Secondly, they know, and they've heard this before, that there are serious consequences for them if they breach international law, if they breach the agreements that they've entered into in the European Union. So this is the reality that they face, and it's the reality that's caused them to pull back before. And what we're saying to them is, you need to comply with your agreements. You need to listen to the people of Northern Ireland. You need to listen to the business community in Northern Ireland who are satisfied with the protocol. They want easements on, there's no question about that, but they are satisfied with the protocol. You need to look at the businesses that are expanding and look at what the Commission has already proposed, which is a significant easement of checks on the protocol to help those who have genuine concerns.
They say they are listening. They're listening to the unionist community and parties and newly elected MLAs. They say that the European Union is being inflexible. And crucially, they say that the European Union's inflexibility in the protocol is fueling unrest and threatening violence.
Sorry, Cormac, this is completely and utterly incorrect. And we've got to look at facts here. And you have an obligation as well to put facts to me, not simply the rhetoric that's coming from London and the rhetoric that we've heard so many times.
I'm putting
before.
What they are
the
saying.
The facts
to you.
Are, yeah, they are saying that, Cormac, but I'm telling you it's incorrect and it's demonstrably incorrect by what they've already actually done over the past 2 years. That there's undoubtedly, I have no doubt, that ultimately the UK will stick to their international agreements, that an agreement will be worked out. But it is extremely frustrating to see all of this, which quite frankly seems to be directed at a very small group of backbenchers in the UK Parliament, rather than the best interests of Northern Ireland.
So when the UK Attorney General gives a legal opinion to say it's OK for them to unilaterally scrap parts of the protocol because it is fueling unrest and there's a risk of violence and there's a risk to the Good Friday Agreement, that is simply untrue.
Well, I haven't seen the legal opinion from the Attorney General. I've read newspaper reports of it. I've seen a word primordial used in connection to the Good Friday Agreement. It's not a word I recognise as a lawyer.
You say it's an untruth.
I'm not saying it's an untruth, but it's certainly using words like that in relation to international treaties is not something I recognise from my legal experience, and I suggest most lawyers will say the same.
But the problem here is that UK is either right on that or they are wrong.
If that's, I haven't seen the advice, but if that's what the advice is, it is absolutely incorrect. There's an international agreement there, first of all, the Good Friday Agreement. That does not provide for unilateral action. The whole spirit of the Good Friday Agreement is the two governments working together. So the idea that one government takes a particular view on the Good Friday Agreement is itself wrong on the part of the British, if that's what they're saying. But very, very clearly, by taking any unilateral action on the protocol, will lead to consequences and will in fact not happen ultimately.
Because
I know, the last thing we want to do is inflame it or have headlines in British newspapers saying that we're throwing around threats, because we've seen that happen before. It doesn't help anybody.
You raised the idea. What are the
I did. Well, I'm stating as a fact, they've already been set out at various points. What we want, the consequence that we want, is an agreement here between the UK and the EU in terms of common sense, and to really just look at what really is in the best interest of the people of Northern Ireland. And what's in the best interest of the people of Northern Ireland is the compromise that's based on the Good Friday Agreement, the compromise that is the protocol that allowed Brexit to happen despite the people of Northern Ireland not agreeing with it, but also make sure that Northern Ireland has access to that single market for goods, which is very, very important to them.
If they move unilaterally to scrap the protocol, are the consequences EU taking legal action and further trade sanctions? Is it a trade war?
Look, you've seen those headlines and those discussions and even statements from the Commission before, but at this particular junction, I think we're far better trying to focus on solutions. But that all, of course, still holds.
If there is no compromise found, and if they move, you will have to. I mean, there has to be a reality to the conversation as well. And we can't be hearing repeatedly from Brussels and from esteemed politicians and people in authority like yourself that you hope for a compromise. We have to deal with the reality. And business people here exporting will have to deal with the consequences of reality as well, of the risk of no compromise. And that's what I'm asking. What will happen?
Well, there is no risk to businessmen here. What the problem that business faces in Northern Ireland is that the uncertainty that's surrounding all of this. Business needs certainty. There is absolute certainty in this jurisdiction. The British government are causing significant uncertainty in Northern Ireland. That's what we want to bring to an end. And that's the problem. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what everyone's trying to do. But the certainty that I have is not just based on what I hope might happen, it's based on what has actually happened over the last number of years when the saber rattling arises at various junctures from time to time.
Okay, and you're saying they won't carry out this threat to scrap the protocol, but will there be any further compromise from the European Union on the substance of what's in the protocol? Is there any flexibility there?
Well, first of all, we've seen flexibility, which I doubt very much was covered by many news channels over the last month. We saw the whole medicines issue, which I would have discussed with you in other programmes a year ago, was completely resolved, actually, in the last month or so by the European Union. So that is no longer there as an issue, and that is an example of flexibility that is not proposed, it's already done. So there's no threat to medicines whatsoever, as we promised. The Commission has put proposals on the table last autumn. They're there. They should form the basis of discussion. They've been welcomed by business, and I'm sure that some in business would like to go further. But they are there, and they are the basis of flexibility within the terms of the protocol, which is an internationally binding agreement.
Is this a case of the UK, London, finally outsmarting or outboxing the European Union here? They always knew...
Cormac, on what basis do you say that?
Let me ask you the question
first. There's no basis for the question.
But let me ask you the question, and you can answer then. They always knew it would come to this. They always hoped for a divide-and-conquer strategy. That is exactly what they are doing. Emmanuel Macron said recently that they want to move on from Brexit and they want to move on from the protocol, that it's simply taking up too much time. Michel Barnier, during the time, the prospect and the negotiation of a no-deal Brexit raised the idea of checks in Irish ports. That has been discussed before in Brussels, but we moved away from it when there was a deal, finally. And I put it to you that they simply knew all the time, the UK, that this was in the ether, and that's what they're pushing for now.
Well, I know what they would like politically. They've certainly pushed the boat out on a number of occasions, but I also know they've pulled back on a number of occasions over the last couple of years. So I think we have to keep going back to that. And there are questions that really shouldn't be posed to me, but really challenge the British government as to why they are not complying with international agreements and why it is absolutely essential in the interest of the people in Northern Ireland, the interest of certainty that they do. And that's where the challenge should be, not to the Irish government. The Irish government has been doing absolutely everything to keep calm, keep firm, to protect peace, to protect the Good Friday Agreement by trying to work together rather than doing unilateral actions, which the British government have proposed on a number of occasions, have gone as far as going through Parliament with the Internal Markets Bill, but haven't actually pulled off. And I still think, and I still maintain, that ultimately they're not going to be able to pull this off because it simply would be very destructive for everybody if they did that.
The US, there's talk on Capitol Hill of the US appointing a US envoy to Northern Ireland at this point, possibly to oversee what's happening. How would that influence, or what would you expect of such an envoy?
Well, look, it's always very helpful to have the United States interested in Northern Ireland. And why are they interested in Northern Ireland and Ireland? They're interested because of their crucial role in the Good Friday Agreement, same as the European Union, but the US had obviously a much, much greater role at that particular time in terms of their people. So that continues. We've seen active engagement from Congress people, from senators, from officials in government, corresponding with British colleagues, outlining how unhappy they are with the situation, with the uncertainty that's going on. And that support is very, very welcome. But that support is founded in their reverence, really, for the Good Friday Agreement. And I think that's where we all need to start from. And that requires everybody working together.
Okay, yeah, well, we'll talk and tease out the detail as to what it means for some of the questions that you asked there, what it means for the UK if they do scrap some of the protocol with the former AG, Dominic Grieve, after 6 o'clock. But for the moment, Minister for European Affairs, Thomas Byrne, míle buíochas, lad.